Well, hello again, everyone. I should probably think of a different intro, but that's what we get every week, so that's what we've got now. It is good to have you here. I'm Austin Slater. That's Dan Kinnis. Dan, thank you for being here. I know it's a little colder than it has been in the past, but we are still in the summer season, almost. Mm-hmm. I think it officially starts soon, at least.
Soon enough. We'll be in June soon.
June, it's crazy how it goes. And... you know, as I say pretty much also every episode, like, man, I'm so excited for this new season. Mm. I'm a summer guy. I need the sun. I need the I'm a plant. I need to photosynthesize. And so the newness of summer, I am a completely different person in summer.
Yeah.
Fully.
I look forward to it, too. So
it's always so good. And I think that newness is really apt given what we were talking about.
Yeah.
So Dan, would you give us a refresher for what we talked about on Sunday?
I can do that. Yeah. And I'll say too that, you know, you joke about the familiar greeting, but I think in a lot of ways that's a comforting thing. If you're a regular listener with us,
it's true.
You kind of look
it's
for that
opening. It's
the
liturgy of deeper.
Yeah, it is. And it's good to have some variety from time to time to keep us on our toes. But in general, I think in a lot of things in life, we appreciate that. That known comfort, that known greeting, kind of what's going to be said. Anyways, so we were talking about new things this week, as you mentioned, new greetings. But we were in Revelation 21, the very last picture, as it were, of Scripture. And this book that's full of visions that John receives, he gets one more there of the New Jerusalem coming down out of heaven. And it's a bride beautifully dressed. There's questions there. Is this the city? Is this the people? It's a little bit of both and. It's the place and the people. At any rate, beautiful picture of newness and where God is bringing all things to. And we just took a little time to try as best as we could to bask in that promise that God is setting before us and the realization that this is what he wants for us. This is where he would lead us to in Christ. And then we talked about a few different ways. How do we live with that before us? Something we can taste a bit of now, but certainly not fully digest at this point. Because we're still in this old reality in so many ways. So how do we live with that before us in this world still filled with mourning, crying, pain, tears, these kind of things? And probably a lot more you could talk about there, but we highlighted a few things that come out of the text and that we'll talk about some more here. As I said, was the very first text I preached on here at Friendship, my first Sunday as we were beginning something new there. And so it was nice to revisit it, a little different angle, of course, this time around, but same wonderful text, same wonderful vision that God is laying before us there.
Absolutely. And I loved this, you know, as you put it, this incredible promise of newness that we've got. And I really liked your clarification that this newness isn't a temporal newness. You know, it's, again, not the 2025 version of whatever, but, you know, this is a new qualitative.
Yes.
Like, it is made new again.
Right.
I mean, especially as we're looking at, you know, the new earth and our eventual, like, redeemed relationship with Jesus incarnate on this earth, this renewed earth, it's beautiful to me because it's like, it's not like this is like some other, like, copy paste earth that God's going to create elsewhere that we're like, okay, we're just going to go move to this earth now. And, you know, but this is like our earth that we are living on now will be made like new again. Mm-hmm. And that's just a beautiful picture, first off. But it also gets to some questions about how we treat this earth.
Sure.
Because if Jesus is, you know, we know he's coming back. We know he's going to make earth like, you know, pre-fall new. Like, this is going to be like the Garden of Eden world round type new. Mm-hmm. What is our responsibility in bringing earth to that? Because that seems like something that we for sure can't do. That is something that God can really
but to live do. Toward that, right?
But what does it mean to live towards that? What is our responsibility as believers to live towards making creation new?
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's a good question. And I think it's very fitting. You know, Austin just mentioned that kind of line from the newness to this kind of continuity with what is now to what's coming. And there are two different words for new in the Greek, and this word is the one for the qualitative newness, you know. And we talk about in Scripture how everything now is subject to decay, bondage to decay, and that when we think about what the new quality would be, is that's not going to be the case. And there's lots of debates in how God will bring that about. You know, is there going to be, you know, everything will go up in flames and then something new comes? And we don't know, of course, exactly how he'll bring that about. However, we know there's going to be some connection to what we know now. just like we see with Jesus' new body. It's not like, oh, why do you have four arms now? And that kind of thing. He still has a human body. It's just renewed. And there is some difficulty for the disciples to acknowledge or see it, but it's still continuous from what has come. So I think that's fitting. What God is going to bring about something new. It's going to be of a much better quality than what we know now, and not subject to decay and with all the evils and imperfections that we deal with now. So what does it look like to live toward that? If that's where we're going, even in a physical sense, what does that look like now? And I think this gets into a lot of, we talk about, even my kids in school, part of their learning curriculum is about being earth keepers, right? And thinking about how they interact with creation. And that goes back even to Genesis 1, where that's the charge to Adam and Eve, or to humanity represented by them, to be good stewards of what God has given to them, to rule over the earth, not in a domineering kind of way, but in a way that life can flourish. And, of course, that's what I think we're being called to now, because God's going to return it to that good harmony. Think of pictures in the prophets, like Isaiah, that kind of hard for us to imagine, you know, the child putting his hand in the nest of the cobra, and, you know, these animals that we see not getting along, but it's the peaceable kingdom. And so for us now, like, how do we think about our waste, right, and how we go about that, and our interaction maybe with other creatures? And, you know, I think around here there's a lot of people who love creation and nature, and I think largely people who think carefully about, say, for instance, you're listening to your hunter. I know a lot of the hunters I talk to here are thoughtful about, you know, not just being wasteful if they are able to shoot a deer, right, and how they use that, or find different uses for the hide or the meat. That's good things to think about, right? How are we interacting? It could be other waste things. You know, we are stationed pretty close to a landfill here. I've worked on landfills in my life, and I know that's evolved over the years, thinking about, you know, how do we do that in sustainable ways? How do maybe we reuse some of that energy? I think those are good things for us to think about as we think about the earth God has placed us in now. While not perfect, we know he's going to lead to a renewed space. And so that whole idea, we said it kind of not being this pie in the sky Christians, or, because everything's going to hell in a handbasket here, who cares? You know, just throw your trash out in the street, or don't worry about it. No, that's not what we believe. We believe God is working to renew and to restore. And so while we know that things do decay now and have their lifespans, nevertheless, we want to take care of creation well. That's what we're called to do. And, I don't know if you have further applications, Austin, you would think of. There's a lot, of course.
Oh, there's so many different ways we can go into it, and so many ways we've gone into this somewhat in the past. But I always, especially right now as we're getting our garden set up, I'm drawn to God as the gardener. Mm. You know, and our garden over the winter got a little out of shape.
Sure.
You know, there's a ton of weeds that we're having to deal with now. We're trying to, you know, make it into a beautiful place that we can properly enjoy again.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not one of those things that I can just be like, oh, yeah, you know, the city will come and fix that eventually.
Right.
Well, it's like, yeah, if I leave it for like 25 years and don't touch it, they might bulldoze the place.
Right.
But like, that's something that like, if I am wanting this to be an enjoyable place to live, to be, I need to take the time and energy to garden it, to steward this place. And I think as we think of, you know, earth being originally the garden, I think I just love the calling I see for so many of us to be gardeners, to take care of this earth. And that's not something that I think is necessarily too controversial.
No.
But I love the way that we are allowed to engage in God's creation.
Mm-hmm.
Another thing, too, as I think of is like, you know, I don't have kids yet, but as I envision having kids and envision them messing around in my garden, there's the one part of me that's like, we're putting a lot of work into this. You know, I don't really necessarily want you to mess it up too much.
Yeah.
But then there's the other part that's like, how beautiful will it be for them to get their hands dirty, to get involved in taking care of this beautiful thing we've had?
Mm-hmm.
And so I just love that image, you know, and obviously, I don't know exactly God's perspective on it, but seeing it as, you know, the father teaching his children how to garden and how to take care of the garden, I just always love that image.
Yeah. Well, and you think about some of it is interacting with how God made things to be. He made, you know, the earth to be fruitful and to multiply, for things to grow and have life. And so when we can participate in that, gardening is a great example. Many here are farmers even and love doing that and do it well. What a beautiful picture, right, of how life is in the midst of this earth. And yes, we know things aren't perfect, and even we deal with, you know, struggle sometimes in our gardens for a variety of reasons, but that's a great example. Mm-hmm. Sometimes just in our own little world, right? The earth is big for us as, you know, single people, and but yet we have our own sometimes little properties, or we can manage how we handle, you know, maybe how we use resources. And so I think, yeah, we don't have to, maybe we're not recreating the whole earth, like you said. God's the one who's going to restore all things, but we can live as Christians
and especially tend to our plot that we have here.
Sure, sure. Yeah.
Like, even if it's not something we own, we can take care of it.
Yes.
And I just love that.
Yeah.
I'd love to spend the rest of our time talking a little bit about hope.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause, you know, we have this new, this qualitatively new hope for the future.
Mm-hmm.
We know everything will be redeemed. We know everything will be restored. Our relationship with Jesus will be an incarnate in-person one.
Mm-hmm.
But we live in the world of decay. We live in a world where that's not the case, where that relationship is broken.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, this is something that, you know, I have a very good image of for me because of our immigration situation that we had.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my wife, and it's especially prevalent because it was actually 5 years ago today that my wife
mm-hmm.
left.
Mm-hmm.
But we basically had a situation where we had this beautiful relationship that we had spent years working on developing, and then we had to be forcefully separated, and we were living apart.
Mm-hmm.
And we had the hope. We knew it was eventually going to end. We knew this wasn't going to be like the rest of our lives we're dealing with
right.
this. But we were in the middle of so much decay, both in our world and, you know, trying to make sure our marriage didn't decay. It sometimes got really hard to see that hope.
Mm.
And it's like, even if you know intellectually the hope is there, it's sometimes so far off in the distance and there's so much going on right now that it's so easy to lose that hope. I know we talked about this for a fair amount during the later half of the service,
mm-hmm.
but I'd love to spend some time recapping in a bit more detail this little bit here, because I think it's just so important for us to get. But in these moments when we're surrounded by the decay of this current world and really struggling to find any comfort and hope, what can we do to be reminded of that coming newness? And then what does it mean to practically live in ways that bring hope and reminders of that newness to others?
Mm, yeah. I think your personal example is a good one, Austin, right? Because it's not like you couldn't relate to each other in that time, but yeah, physically separated, right? And that's, in so many ways, the vision of Revelation 21 is here in a spiritual sense now. We can spiritually have a new relationship with the Lord in Christ, the Spirit, He's leading us. But there's certainly not the physical part where God's camping out with us now and we see Him face to face, as talked about, and even our own relationships are not quite there, of course. And so it is challenging, and it is sometimes overwhelming in the moment when you're dealing with some of the decay of this world or pain or mourning. It can be very hard to see out of that. And so Austin's question of how or what are some ways that we can help ourselves? And I think we need to be honest too. And sometimes it is just a ray of light. It's not like the light switch being fully flipped on, because it is hard. And there is space to lament. And maybe some of that even is the beginning of realizing as you go through Scripture, even Jesus Himself, of course, at the cross, we see those expressions to God. And I think even that expression of when you are in a difficult spot, you're dealing with some of this old stuff of this, bondage to decay world, to know that there's a space to come before God to express that hurt to Him and that lament, and that He cares, He's listened to His people all over the centuries, and that has turned them back to praise, can be a wonderful word of hope. And I think of like Psalm 13, you know, and how long, O Lord, which is basically, we said before, an expression of it's been long enough. That's us saying, any human being, when we say how long, we're saying we think it's been long enough, so we can stop this. But at the end saying, but I trust in You, I look to You, I know I'm going to praise You, even though I'm hurting now. I mean, just maybe that's a beginning to say, I'm going to bring this to the Lord, even my expression of lament and hurt, because that can shine a light like, oh, He cares. Remind you that He's there, He's listening, He's going to allow me to be upset with Him even, can bring that light back in. And it is sometimes work, right? I think you mentioned the season at the outset, right? Mm-hmm. This time of year. I think there's a benefit around us if we're sometimes willing to look and just see some of the beauty of creation. I mean, just in the last couple of weeks, how quickly things change from barrenness on the trees to now I drive up Eastern Avenue by us and it's fully enclosed mm-hmm. with this canopy of leaves. And to me, that's a reminder if I'm in the midst of a struggle, difficult situation, how quickly God can turn things around and bring some newness or just bring something in that will bring that light back. And I know it certainly doesn't feel that way in the moment. And like you said, I mean, the immigration process for you, like that separation time, in hindsight and long term, seems like, oh, that was a blip. But boy, in the
middle of it, when you just got notification that, like, yeah, it'll be another 9 months minimum, yeah, it's like,
that might as well be forever, right. It seems like. And that's completely normal and understandable. And so trying to see, you know, when God gives those pictures of newness and, you know, and it is. I want to say it is really difficult when you feel that weight. Sometimes others need to come beside us, and that's an encouragement to the second half of Austin's question, because sometimes I need help from someone else. Someone needs to come and love me well or be generous in listening to me or just walk beside me. That can bring light back in. I maybe can't flip the light switch myself, but someone else can shine a flashlight in and make me aware again of the presence of God through their presence and through their encouragement, through their prayers. Yeah, I think if you've been in a tough spot, it's so good to know it's not just you trying to create that either. And it's really hard sometimes because depression's real and those kind of things, it's hard for us to do anything just emotionally in the midst and physically in the midst of some of that. So that's an encouragement on the second half. How might we be extending hope as we talked about? It is walking with people. It seems maybe not meaningful, but if you've been in these spots, it's huge mm-hmm. to have someone there who cares. And sometimes you're not very nice or beautiful in those moments, right. but that person's still there, and you're like, wow, okay, that. And it's a picture of how God is. He's way better than any of us at this. He faithfully goes with us, but we need that reminder. We need that light. And so seeing that in others, I think personally you can lean on friends and family, especially in the church community. That's what we're here for. Sometimes we try to just tough it out and go it alone and like, well, okay, I got to just figure this out. And no, share it with someone. You don't have to get up in front of the whole church and say something, but somebody, there has to be somebody who you know you can trust and maybe share that with who can then walk with you and be trusted in that and bring some light back into the experience and show that they do love you mm-hmm. and care for you. Yeah, I mean, there's outside help too. Of course, we can seek in different ways as well, but I don't want to put so much weight on maybe you if you're listening or in the midst of that. There are ways I would encourage you to see that God's always at work, but sometimes it's hard. Mm-hmm. We're going to get to in a minute, but this week we're going to talk about someone in Scripture who is dealing with, you know, a crippling disease for 30-something years. I mean, it's pretty hard sometimes to see the possibilities in the light when it's been that kind of length of time. So prayer is always good, too. And looking to that, but yeah, there is light in this vision. I mean, I think going to Scripture, of course, is mm-hmm. a basis of some of this, reading these promises, hearing God say this, because he's speaking into our situation. You know, when you pass through the rivers, I will be with you. When they walk through the flames, they will not burn you. You know, this is where I'm taking things. We need to hear that. So
absolutely.
Just going to the Word, even when you don't want to.
And it's important to have those reminders because, again, like, it's one thing to, like, yeah, like, yeah, I know that, like, Jesus loves me and, like, yeah, that things will work out for his good, whatnot. But, like, it is important sometimes to be, like, I'm going to go and I'm going to see where that promise is. Mm-hmm. And then I can see that promise and I can look at God and say, I know that you've promised this.
Yes.
And even just for me, that action of seeing in Scripture, this was a promise that was made. I do not see it being fulfilled yet. I'm going to hold you to this, and I know you will hold true to it.
Yeah.
That was, at least personally, something that I found great encouragement from.
Yes. Yeah, I think that's great. And I know others, too, who you know maybe don't have necessarily every promise of Scripture written out, but they have several that are meaningful to them. And that might be a thing, too, to keep going back to. You have it written out somewhere. Just to remind yourself, this is what God has said. And like Austin just said, God, I think, upholds that. We see it in Scripture. You can pray into those things. God, you said this. This is who you are. And I'm struggling to see it. You know, and I want to hold this promise before you that you've made. Your word's always true. And I think that's a very fitting thing to do. And God honors that. And his timing, of course, his way, of course, and we trust in his will. But he's made these promises, and we trust in his word. So,
yeah, absolutely. Was there anything in this passage that you didn't go into that you could have? I know, obviously, you said you have, you know, preached on this here at Friendship before. So, like, if we were to go and revisit this passage on our own, what are some things that we could look for?
So, one thing is reading this passage and looking at it in isolation, of course, it's in this book of Revelation. There's so much interconnectivity with the rest of the book and with the Old Testament, not just in this passage, but the whole. So one thing you could do is in reading this passage when the Lord says, you know, to the one who overcomes, I will give the right to inherit all this. Well, what's all that? Well, if you go back to the beginning of the book and you read those opening seven letters or sermons to the churches, there in, at the end of each one is an inheritance promise. You could go, that's what's likely being referred to here, all these wonderful promises God is making. Or when you see, like, verse 8, we're like, oh, you know, what's this comment about those who won't inherit in that way? Well, that's all kind of laid out. We see that rebellion ongoing in the book of Revelation. We see the warnings in those seven sermons, too. I would say as well, go to Isaiah. This promise of the new heavens and the new earth is there in places like Isaiah 65 and other places, too, where you see already at that time God pointing forward to a restoration and a renewal and how he's going to draw his people to that. And while they were in exile, which we still kind of live in this exile, as it were, when we're in this world, in this bondage to decay, we're still, as Austin said, certainly physically separated from the Lord. What a word of encouragement. That's not going to last forever. So there's lots of good context, scriptural context to dig into there. We talked a little bit about, you know, the newness words. I just touched on that, but there's a lot to think about there, this difference between just newness in time or qualitative newness. Yeah, like every passage in Revelation, there's a lot to take in and consider. But I think for the meantime, that's probably good to go to.
Definitely no shortage of things to look at. I love that. What can we be looking forward to next Sunday?
Yeah, this week, I know it's a holiday weekend, so some might be doing different things, camping, traveling, having fun with family, that. But if you're listening or with us, we're going to look at John chapter 5, the beginning of that chapter. And Jesus performs this miracle there on the Sabbath. And it seems like he is, in one sense, trying to raise up some conflict with the religious leaders, because the rest of the chapter will be a conversation with them. But the miracle is for someone, as we mentioned, who's been struggling for years, is by this pool and seemingly trying to get healed through the pool. And Jesus comes and ministers to him, and he's an interesting character. He's kind of, is he likable? Is he not? What's going on there? Because he seems to tattle on Jesus at the end. And so we'll dig into that. We'll think about, you know, Jesus' mercy in healing him there. This is what he's come for, and our response to that, and again, who Jesus is. And so anyways, just an interesting story to reflect on in John 5.
A lot of things in that. I'm very excited to unpack that with you. Dan, thank you so much for your time. Thank you all for listening and joining in with us, and we will see you next time.